Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for Tech Talk. And our phone line is open at 1-800-749-5936. Charles and Charles, both in-house. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Hey, we're here
this
weekend.
We're doing good. We're liking this Saturday morning. You're kind of a little crisp. And
oh, nice. Good. Beautiful outside.
It's nice.
It was nice last night. I mean, it was so calm and peaceful. We were up at the lake, and it was just beautiful.
Yeah, it's a nice place to be.
It really was. You know, the fishing has been kind of rough, but then last weekend I heard that what do you call those? Not perch, but the other ones, the bigger.
The bass?
Crappie. The crappie were feeding because it was they were spawning, you know. So, man, people were catching big old crappie, and one guy came into my shop, have his phone repaired, and I said, man, look at the size of those fish on your screen there. And he goes, I caught those this weekend. He said, man, some of them up to, you know, 8-10 pounds. He's getting these big old crappie. And I was going, man, when's dinner? Are you bringing those up? I'll cook them. I like fish.
What else did you see at the lake?
It was a pretty interesting thing. I was telling Charles about it when we're sitting back here while you guys were talking. But my wife and I and my son and his girlfriend were all standing up at the lake and having a good time. And then we decided to go to bed, so the kids took off to come back into Bartlesville, and my son said, hey, Dad, stop. You got to get up and go look at this. And I said, I'm already in my PJs. I'm sleeping. He goes, no, get up. Go outside and look. So I went out there, and right above us is a string of lights coming, and they're off, some of them a little off-centered, you know, but they were pretty much in single file, but there was hundreds of them. And they were just coming along. I like that music.
You're little doing X-Files the whole going
X-Files.
On here.
But I have never in my life seen anything like it. And they just came at us, Charles, by the hundreds. And then they would shoot off up into space. And, I mean, we'd watch them go. I mean, they were out of the atmosphere. They were going. And then there was one off to the right of them that just kind of slowly was moving as they were all going. And then finally, after the last one came over us, it shot up and was gone. And, I mean, it shot up super fast. It was almost like a blink of an eye and it was gone. And I looked at my wife, and she goes, I've never in my life would have believed I would have ever seen anything like that. And it was cool. It was like they were 25,000 feet AGL. And pilots know what that means. I mean, they weren't like super high up to where it was like a satellite. These were right here visible. You could see them. Hmm. And they were like orbs of light that had a glowing sensation around them. I couldn't see any metal or anything, but it was lights. And so I got a little video. I showed you that little picture. I took a picture of it, but it was on. I couldn't find the video on my wife's camera. I go, where's the stupid video camera? So I got one of those still photos that it's a moving photo. And it gives you a few seconds, and you can see these things moving, you know. But it was really neat. We had a really – it was hard to go to sleep after that. It was kind of cool. It was like an invasion. I was thinking, when is all the fireworks going to start? Star Trek or something, you know. It's kind of spooky.
Yeah, in the old days of all-night radio, east of the Rockies.
If anybody else was up by Hula Lake or Hula Dam, let me know if you saw that too, because it was really cool. And some were saying it was something Elon Musk is doing with lights, but this was not. Whatever he would have done with lights would have been probably way up in space, and it probably wouldn't have been what we saw.
Starlink.
Because what we saw looked like ships. I mean, it was like a uniform. We thought at first it was helicopters coming up over the horizon, you know, because I've seen helicopters, black ones, going back and forth over the ridge up there.
Well, you can hear them.
But you couldn't hear this. These things were silent, but right over us.
Ew.
And, I mean, it was pretty incredible. I got to tell you.
Wow.
It changed my perspective. I was really convinced that this was pretty cool. I wished I knew what it was.
I wish you did, too.
Yeah.
Now you got to keep us in suspense now for.
Well, you know, the Air Force has been seeing a lot of these things, the military. And so they're trying to figure it out. And they've finally reached out to the public and said, you know, we don't know what they are. And they are trying to research it. It was on Fox News one day. They had a top general, and he's talking about, we've seen this stuff. We don't know what it is. We're trying to figure them out. These are aircraft that we don't know what they do.
Oh, boy.
And when they say that, you know. And they showed pictures off of one of the carriers. I think it was a destroyer or something. Had pictures of these pyramid-shaped, glowing, flying objects. And they were zipping around and doing things. They said they would go underwater and shoot faster underwater than any sub could ever go. And it just defied anything that we know. So, you know, it's starting to come now more evident that people are seeing these things. It's no mistake. You know, I spent about an hour on the phone with my dad last night, telling him what had happened. I said, I can't believe it, Dad. It was the craziest thing. And he was pretty shocked by it, too. He says, I've heard stories of these things, you know. But it's amazing when you see it firsthand.
Well, Charles Mall, I can tell you this. If they can move like that, I bet they don't have any issues in organizing their cabling for their computer.
No. No. No, it'd be cable-free.
Cable-free.
You know, it makes you wonder what these things would run on.
Yeah?
To shoot up as fast as they do. How they defy gravity in such a way that it wouldn't hurt the bodies if there was a body inside of them. Maybe they're just drones or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Yeah. But I know this. It wasn't metallic that I could see. Mm-hmm. All we saw was balls of light. And it was pretty cool.
But they liked the lake, too, apparently, because they were there.
It was just right up over us at the lake. And, I mean, it was incredible to watch. We stood there for, I think, probably 20 minutes afterwards and just looked at each other and we're like, what did we just see? It was really incredibly cool.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like a light show in the heavens. It was just neat.
Wow. I saw the picture and that was a straight line.
Yeah, but like I said, they were gapping sometimes in between them. It wasn't like the whole line was uniform. It was for a portion and then they would be a little gap in there. But there's one that sat off to the side and was moving very slowly while all the rest were coming at a fairly decent pace. Mm-hmm. And then they would just zip up, and they were gone. And then that last one just shot up. And, I mean, it was pretty intense.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to top that.
I know.
Yeah.
It really was. And I'm still kind of awed by it. It took me a long time to fall asleep. So if I sound a little tired this morning, I was having a rough night sleeping after seeing that. It was pretty cool.
Other than that, Charles Mall, how was your week?
Well, it wasn't anything like that.
I wished it would have been. I wish you'd have been there.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. Well, but, you know, there's so much technology that was, you know, back after the World War II that came out. And it makes you wonder whatever happened to those guys. You know, like, for example, in 1961, there was a man from here who invented the first nuclear-powered airplane. And that thing was just super fast.
Never heard of that. Wow.
You haven't heard of that?
No.
Well, yeah, I remember hearing about it as a kid. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't really common knowledge, but, you know, they did have one.
Yeah.
And, you know, those things, you could fly around the world, and you don't have to refuel all the time. So, you know. But, you know, that's if they developed that 60 years ago now, what do they have now? You know, is it those, you know, they've taken the... those flying machines, what used to be our space shuttles.
Yes.
Well, those are nuclear powered. And the last one they had, you know, was unmanned. That they landed was about 4 or 5 years ago. And it was out in space for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, the unmanned one. Yeah, that one nobody knows what it was doing.
Right. But, you know, at the same time what was going on, that's when China's put their outermost orbit satellites. You know, so we didn't have anything farther out. So now we do.
Yeah. Well, it just makes you wonder, you know, when you start thinking of technology to that advancement.
Right.
I mean, to be able to defy the gravity of the Earth is pretty intense. Because no human body could withstand the speeds that these Air Force guys have been claiming they're seeing these aircraft move.
Well, hence the unmanned activity.
Yeah.
Now you can exceed... You know,
but who knows that they're unmanned? they don't know what they are. So, you know, but I've always wondered, because back in the days when I was younger and they would always talk about different technologies that were being advanced, I knew that they came out with like the B-2 bombers and things like that. And then they had those stealth bombers, you know, those ones that kind of look like the bat wings, you know, and those were coming out. And when you watch the videos of how they looked in the air, they looked small. But I got to stand next to one when I was in Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado at one time, and they're huge. And this thing doesn't look that big, but these stealth bombers are, I mean, they're big. And then to see how fast those things travel, you got to wonder, you know, how can anybody withstand those G forces? You know,
mm-hmm.
It's pretty intense.
Yep, sure enough.
Tell you what, guys, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to come back with more tech talk that's simply out of this world, man. I mean that. Right after this 1 minute timeout. Hey, good morning. This is Tom with Bartlesville Radio. Is this Caitlin?
It is.
You're the grand prize winner today. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Mom.
You've won a night stay at the Inn at Price Tower Arts Center, a gallery tour, and a tower tour for two at the Price Center, $20 gift certificate for the Copper Bar, also an Adiago tea box from Blue Stem Body, Mother's Day bouquet valued at $100 from Flowerland, a gift from McCoy Jewelers,
wait, there's more,
$50 gift card from Truity Credit Union, and a mother's ring from Wendell's Rock and Jewelry. Congratulations.
Wow, okay, thank you so much.
Congratulations to Caitlin Spence, the winner in the My Mom's Priceless Contest.
Happy Mother's Day.
Congratulations to everyone who participated in the My Mom's Priceless Contest on K1, KRIG, KYFM, and KPGM.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. I'll tell you what, everybody's trying to figure that out.
Yeah, you know what?
You saw.
Well, everybody was talking about the space debris. There's been
things. There's a Chinese rocket.
But this was uniform. It wasn't anything that was like stuff shooting all the different directions. It was uniform. And I just know this. When my son calls me, he's not one of these skeptical kind of people. I mean, he's skeptical. He's not one of these guys that would ever fall for something. But he's the one that woke me up and said, Dad, you got to see this. And it wasn't some strange lights from a satellite. Mm-hmm. To me, it was beyond anything I can't begin to tell you. Hmm. And it was huge.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Anyways, back to technology. Charles, what's been happening this
Earthly
week?
Earthly technology.
Well, there's just so much stuff that's kind of hidden from us. Mm-hmm. See, that's why we have so many conspiracy theorists now.
Yeah,
because you know you don't know what's under the covers anymore.
Yeah,
it's all in the lab. It's in the back room. It's industry. It's government. It's who knows what, and it does create a lot of it's kind of a fear factor thing.
You yeah.
know, on okay, what do we really have? Because it's just not transparent in a lot of ways. But there is a lot of stuff that is coming out all of a sudden. Like for example, the Apple. You know, they got the M2 chip now that's coming out in the new.
Sure.
So that is kind of flipping the whole chip industry, you know, because now it's always been Intel and having this one processor do all these multiple things. Now it's going back to having this reduced instruction set, which used to be a big thing back when. But now it's so much faster because it's just a dedicated channel. There's just a lot of them. So the M2 is going to basically kind of shed some new light on where it's going, because the chip business itself seemed like it's getting challenged because it's everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, we really have a serious chip shortage because every device, I mean, you can't even buy an ice box without a chip in it, you know.
Yeah,
you can't buy anything that doesn't have all this computer stuff.
And you know, you're right, because this last week more and more I'm seeing, you know, I get electronic devices in my shop to repair. A lot of people coming in with RV boards, and, you know, they'll have it in their RV, and they plug it into some station wherever they're going, and they don't have a power surge protector, and something gets blown out, and they'll come in with the circuit board and say, can you see what may be wrong with this? Because this board's like $800 or $900. And we'll look through there, and nine times out of ten, it could be what we call a field effect transistor, or it could be a diode that burns up. And a lot of time it's usually user error, you know, where they plug them in incorrectly while it's hot, or they get a power surge and they don't have protection of any sort. You need to have, if you have an RV, I'm just throwing it out there, you need to have a surge protector on your RV, 30 amp or 50 amp. You need to have one. And mm-hmm. then plug it in to that, then into the power source. But always make sure you shut your breakers off on your vehicle and the power wall. Turn the power wall on first, and then go flip your breaker on in your RV. then you won't have these problems. But if you don't do it that in that order, you may short something out.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got to know what you're doing, I guess.
Yep, I see a lot of it this last week. So, you know, and one, and here's another thing. One of the guys came in and he had a board in his hand, and it's a very expensive board. Charles, like you said, had real expensive processors on it because it does voice commanding, auto leveling, everything for his RV. But he cut the ground post off of his cable because it didn't fit in the socket he was wanting to put it in. Two of them did, the positive and negative, but that ground is important. He didn't plug that back in. He clipped it off to make it fit in there, and it ended up shorting out his board. So I always tell people, you got to have a ground. That's the most important part. And those, there's a reason for those three pins. You know, don't take them off.
Yep. So what do you do? Well, you know, I've seen a lot of environments like with the Ethernet cables, for example, when people are trying to connect like a building, like if you had a building that was maybe adjacent to yours.
Yeah.
But when you run a copper line in there, you have this potential problem with it's a different ground from one building to the other. So now you're creating this potential, and you can mess up your equipment that way. That's why they run wireless or fiber.
Fiber, yeah.
Because fiber does not, you know, the ground is not an issue.
Yeah, fiber's just, it's...
It doesn't carry that potential like copper does.
It's not metallic. But, you know, in all of that, and we see this more often in sound equipment and electronics that I deal in, guys that play in bands and so forth, they come into a place and it only has two-prong plugs and they have a three-prong plug. Instead of going down to the hardware store and getting you a quick little adapter, they cut off the ground on their cables. Well, then they're wondering, why is my amp always humming? Well, there's a reason for those grounds. You don't cut them off.
Right.
You know, and they always leave you on the two-pin conversion to a three-pin. You know, they always have the little screw piece that goes onto the center screw of any wall plate, and you screw that on, and that gives you that ground. So, you know, don't cut those off. Mm-hmm. That's only going to hurt your amplifier. Now you're going to have a grounding issue. So definitely just, and you'll get hums. So, yeah, this is things we talk about in electronics to kind of help people a little bit.
Yep, and figure out why you get those little additional elements like the hum.
Yeah, the hum is bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you get hum in an amplifier, it's annoying, especially as a band guy, because you're up there playing and you keep hearing this hum, and you can't distinguish, you know, it's like right in a 60 megahertz cycle or some weird cycle, and it just drives your ear nuts.
It does. It absolutely does.
It's like somebody has getting up early in the morning starting a truck next door to your house, and it's just humming all night while you're trying to sleep. Shut that truck off. I've done that. I've gone over and said, could you turn that thing off at 3 in the morning? No one's to hear it. You know, it's just crazy. One guy used to do that all the time. He had a job where he worked at nights, and he'd turn his truck on, let it warm up, and he would be out there for almost 45 minutes running. And I'm like, who does this at 3 in the morning? You know, knock that off. Take it down the street and turn it on and let it sit and warm up. You know, I'm trying to sleep in here. But that hum, we're talking about hums. But, hey, going back to chipsets, you know, you were talking about Intel was always the big leader in chipsets.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was AMD that was right behind them. They used to always be neck and neck with each other trying to find out who had the better math coprocessor. And it always ended up being, you know, IBM or, you know, a nice chip, Intel chip. It was never, I think they were more for gaming. AMD were more for gaming machines. But they didn't have the math compression that you had in the Intel chips.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is this reduced instruction set and then the complete instruction set. So Intel is always touted, well, with this one instruction, you can have it just do all kinds of things at the same time.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's where all the parallel processing stuff and takes place just within one chip. You know, so you can have... Like, you know, you can get 24 cores on an Intel chip.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going on at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, the whole development world has taken that and made that the standard because, you know, you don't have to, you know, one instruction can split off into so many. And that's what's really made the processor so effective. But now they're finding, well, instead of having this one split off into so many things, that takes a while for that all to come back together. Then if you had a single, you know, a reduced instruction set, that one thing does, it's kind of like Linux and Unix. When you say you're going to do something, it happens. It doesn't sit there and wander around.
Sure.
And,
yeah. Right.
You know, so that's why we're seeing that pendulum swing the other way. Because mm-hmm. I think Intel has swung as far as it can go in that direction. Now it's going back the other way.
Yeah. Now, see, I've been trying to find out what Apple's doing. What chipset they're using? Are they using Intel chipsets? Or
No.
Because they have the A6.
Well, they bought the chip, you know, that they make now, the M1, which is now the M2.
Yeah, M2s. Yeah.
And so they're its own. They bought the company, you know. So they actually.
So they're manufacturing their own chipset.
They developed their own chipset. And
wow.
they've been doing that for, 20 years or 25 years. So they've been at it a while because way back, you know, when IBM had their RISC processor, those were all reduced instruction set, and they were screaming machines, but the development was just not there.
Yeah.
Now I think it's a whole different world where you have so many, there's a lot more software engineers than we've ever had before because now you got that whole middle layer. You know, it's the hardware talking to the rest of the system, so it's going to change the way things are, but it seems like electronics is always like that. It just goes so far. It's just like you might as well be just taking a ferry and going across the river and then get to the other side just to find you have another ferry to go to the next. It's just a never ending trek.
It is.
And because you can't take anything with you, you just have to start. You know, now you got a new set of instructions to work with, and you run with it. And that's why we've been riding this technology wave, which seems to be never ending.
Well, you know, and multitasking, these chips multitasking, being able to do many things at one time, like you said. You know, I was on with my sister FaceTiming the other day, and it's all about software. When you get the software updates, if you don't have the software updates, some features won't function the way other people's are functioning because they're doing updates. I always do updates, so I'm doing my FaceTime with her. And she wanted me to look at a picture, and usually when you hit your home button and go out of that screen, your person gets paused on the other end. So they get a pause signal, so it cuts off the feed to both of you to be able to see each other. Not the audio, but the video. Well, mine put her up in the corner in a little tiny small picture, and I can still look at the picture while she's up there, and she can still see me. So it didn't pause anything. And she couldn't get hers to do that. And I said, have you done the latest update? No. So she did the latest update. And, of course, now it's allowing you to multitask like that, be able to open up pages and still keep this video conference going. So, anyways, yeah, these processors are pretty powerful.
Do a lot of stuff. You know, these millions of instructions per second, that number keeps going up. But then the level of complexity, it seems like it goes up as well.
So yeah.
It's
everything's got a price, and complexity seems to be the currency.
Huh? It does, unfortunately.
We're going to take a little break, and we're going to be back with more of our Tech Talk program after this one-minute timeout.
Ernest Heat and Air says, don't let the summer heat catch you off guard. Have your air conditioner serviced or replaced with a new high-efficiency air conditioner. Call Ernest Heat and Air today at 918-335-3057 to have your AC checked. That's Ernest Heat and Air, 918-335-3057, 709 Northeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville. And remember, it's hard to stop a train.
Check their website at ErnestHeatAndAir.com.
Anniversary coming up? Call K1 at 918-336-1001 or email radio at BartlesvilleRadio.com with the names and dates, because each morning we announce anniversaries and select one couple to win a $10 gift certificate from Sterling's Grill, helping you celebrate that special anniversary. Call us 918-336-1001 or email radio at BartlesvilleRadio.com with the name and date, and we'll add it to our list. Happy anniversary from your friends at K1.
Good morning. Welcome back to Tech Talk at 7:50. almost 56. We're at 62 degrees, and of course you can get be a part of the program at 1-800-749-5936. We have Charles Miller, Charles Ball with us here today, guys.
Yep, we're talking about the M2 chip. I'm telling you, these do you do much work, Charles, on the Apple computers in software? Or
not really. I mean, I have one, so I can kind of stay plugged in there, but you got to stay with the current generation, because that's one downside about the Apple and the Chromebook is they have a certain cycle where all of a sudden you can't update them anymore, you know. But I guess the Windows side is probably the same, you know, because it's just done. Like I've got a Samsung Chromebook, which is okay, but I've had people give me Chromebooks because they said, well, they can't update them anymore. And sure enough, it's like they got a 3 or 4 year life cycle, and all of a sudden it just quits.
And that's the same with Apple?
Well, with Apple, like for example, if you have like a 2009 or 2010 generation, that's when it won't take the new operating system. Mm-hmm. So there's like a 10-year cutoff. It's almost like they've designed this thing to have a 10-year usable cycle, and then you can't get the new operating system anymore, and you can't get, you know, go for that.
Well, I know because
generation.
I'm not a computer store, and I don't deal with computers primarily. We do, you know, very limited with computers, but software, absolutely none. But it's hard for people to find software technicians for Apple. I get probably 20 calls a month. You know, I'm looking for an Apple place that can work on my Apple laptop.
Yeah, but you know, it's usually hardware, because, you know, they don't really have too big issues on software.
It usually is a hardware problem that they're having, but
Right. Nobody
does those services. It's hard to find that.
Well, that Consolidated place here in town does.
Yes. Yeah, that guy Consolidated.
Yeah.
I know who you're
talking
about.
Good. Yeah. I've had them put some stuff in Macs before.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to have the special tools.
Yeah.
You know, to open up the equipment, and they do seem to do pretty good with that, because the drives go bad just like they do in any other machine, so then you have to change it out, and putting in a solid state drive is one way you get more life out of a machine.
Yeah.
Just like the Windows side, so the Mac is like that as well. But they have good quality components. There's a reason why they're twice as much, you know, for the same kind of hardware, because they're hardy.
Yeah,
they're made for the long haul. But like I say, on the other end, they're kind of cutting it off by saying, well, after 10 years, you know, you're kind of done. You can't you can't go anymore. So this ferry's going to somewhere where you can't reach.
There you go. You know, this guy, James Brown, is the guy's name. Believe it or not, he's got the name of the musician. But James Brown is works for Consolidated. And I've dealt with him several times, and he does really good. A lot of people have said, yeah, he does great.
Hardware guy, they're good.
He's good with Apple, definitely. So, yeah, if you've got an Apple computer needing it repaired, those are the guys. You know, Jimmy Williams does a lot of stuff, Williams Computer Repair. He does a lot of stuff that I farm off to him. There's a lot of people that look for software updates, or they get viruses of some sort or malware, or just want to add another hard drive or whatever. You know, we don't do any of that at my shop because I don't have the capabilities. I don't even have an extra monitor to plug into. So, you know, I just primarily stay with electronic circuitry and deal with that.
That keeps you busy.
It does keep me. You've seen it down there. How many people come in and out of that place?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this last week was a little slow, and it was kind of nice because I got to do a little reading. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to do a little bit more study on these UFOs. I'm going to go do some research.
Charles Ball, where can we find you?
ITVillage.one.
You can find me right here at KWON NBR Electronics, right downstairs in this same building.
All righty. To infinity and beyond. Take care, folks. We've got news coming up next. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON.